Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
I wanted to give you the title of the message first, right away this morning, and it's simply three words: gratitude, joy, and praise. And I'm praying that this morning, just as it's done for me, as I've been with the Lord on this message, that it will just give each one of us a new level of awareness, a new level of gratitude, joy, and praise. And maybe for some of us, maybe there's some difficulties going on in your life right now, or maybe we're just going to pray for us to be steered back to a heart of gratitude, joy, and praise. This morning, really, the foundation of the message is going to be based upon 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19, I have to laugh because I have a hard time saying that. So I'm like, Lord, okay. All right, Thessalonians. Okay. All right. And in the New King James Version, it simply says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the Passion Translation says it this way: let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. What I want to point out right away, before we go any further, is that as you read this, it's straightforward, to the point, but it's not a suggestion. To me, it's very straightforward. Again, it's God's command: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. And so, not a suggestion, God's commands. But praise God, when He commands something, He equips us to do it. So that's kind of where I'm going this morning. We're just going to explore gratitude, joy, and praise. And we're going to trust Him to show us the way to be continually in that heart. The reason I'm using the word gratitude is because about a month ago, I was in a group with some ladies not from our church. And we were kind of throwing out prayer requests and, you know, what each of us wanted prayer for. And there's one gal who just caught our attention, and she just looked at all of us and she said, gratitude. It immediately became a very weighty word because of whose mouth it was coming out of. See, most of us there knew her backstory, and we know her present story. Okay, she's coming out of a very dark past. She is in the midst of incredible hardships right now, incredible trials in her life. So knowing what we know about her background, for her to speak the word gratitude, it touched my heart. And I knew exactly what she was saying. Gratitude. Gratitude to God for helping her come out of the darkness, to walk through with her, carry her through what she's going through right now, and knowing that victory is just ahead for her in all of the areas that she's struggling right now. So I went home that day, and just this word gratitude kept kind of, you know, coming to mind. And the very next morning, I was doing my little time with Jesus, and I opened up one of my devotionals, and it's called I Hear His Whisper, and it's by Brian Simmons, who's pretty much the guy behind the Passion Translation. And honestly, I have to read you this short excerpt because in light of me just hearing that word gratitude the day before. Here's what he said. The power of gratitude has been undervalued by my people. As you give me thanks, I refine your soul and remove regret from your life. I will free you when you give me thanks. The more you are satisfied, the more freedom and release from pain I will bring into your life. The power of praise has yet to be fully activated. Greater than any force known to man, let me say that again, greater than any force known to man is the power I release when you praise me. Let me stop there just for a minute. The immediate vision that came to mind, or visual that came to mind, was Paul and Silas, who had just been beaten with rods to within an inch of their lives. They are sitting in a dungeon in the middle of the night. Oh, and they're not moaning and groaning. They're praising the Lord. And it was in the midst of that praising that those chains fell off. Chains fell off, okay, in the midst of praise. Let me continue. To receive my blessings and never give me thanks is the mark of an unbeliever. Ouch. To receive my blessings and be consumed with gratitude is the mark of a true worshiper. I call you to a life of gratitude. Many are like those who grumbled to Moses in the wilderness. They could not give me praise, for even as they grumbled, my glory cloud was over their heads. They looked at man and not at me. Ingratitude is a disease that is easily spread among my people, but praises will break the curse, lift the veil, open the heavens, and provide miracles, even in a wilderness. I call you to joy and thanksgiving. Let every day be the day of magnificent praises. Lift up your eyes and see the blessings I have provided for you, and let the world know that you are mine. The redeemed must say so by their thanks and by their extravagant praise. Today, set your heart before me, your Father, and learn the sweet lessons of gratitude. I will free you when you give me thanks. So I read that the day after hearing gratitude, and it just became a theme. And that's been a theme within my heart rolling for about a month now. And just a couple of days after that, we went to Heritage Hill and we did their luminary walk. And if you're familiar with Heritage Hill at all, it's a historical state park in Green Bay. And they have pretty much gathered historical buildings from around the area, disassembled them and reassembled them and created a little village within the state park. And we went that night. It was beautiful. The path was lit with lanterns. It was just gorgeous. I just felt the presence of the Lord there. And some of the buildings were even open that night. And all that to say that most of the buildings did not have electricity, so we were going into them, watching the actors, the actresses, you know, work out their role there. The blacksmith was doing his thing, and, you know, we went into a Belgian farmhouse, and, of course, she's rolling out dough. Here's the deal. It's all in kerosene lanterns. There's no electricity. You know, the heat was coming from a fireplace. In her case, she was feeding the wood cook stove. And, you know, the tub is hanging on the wall that, you know, they get to have a bath once a week. And, you know, they share the same water, so they do the cleanest person first and then go on to the dirtiest person, you know. And it just reminded me of my own growing up years. I mean, I grew up in an old farmhouse. Thankfully, by the time my mom and dad purchased it, the pantry had been converted into a bathroom. But I didn't grow up with a shower. I grew up with a bathtub and a sink and a toilet. That was it. So when I moved out of my childhood home to be married, our first apartment, I can't tell you how much I loved having a shower. And there'd be times when I'd be taking a shower twice a day because I could. And so it's one of those things because of what I've lived through. You know, I mean, I didn't know what I was living without at the time. I think other than, you know, being in high school practices, I could go take a shower, thank you, Lord, you know, Fayed, that kind of thing. But I've never lost that. Like, I'm still grateful. And I have been known to be in the shower and say, Lord, I'm so grateful. I don't know who invented this whole indoor plumbing thing that we can have hot water inside, that I can go turn up the thermostat if I want. Thank you. Thank you for downloading that into them. My dad is 87. He lived it. Okay, he lived with the no electricity, being on the farm, the whole works. And so when he hears, you know, that someone romanticize, you know, oh, such simpler times. Oh, so, you know, oh, those were the good old days. You look at my dad and go, what? I won't say exactly what he says when he hears that, because I don't think I could repeat it here. But anyway, he just, he's so grateful. And just a couple of years ago, they put in a gas fireplace into their living room. And honestly, to this day, I still hear him say, Carla, I'm just so grateful. I could just flip a switch and the gas fireplace comes on. And just so with that heart of gratefulness, I just translate that into gratitude for God. Gratitude for what we have. And just those little things, it's those day-to-day things. So that when we're without electricity for 3 days, instead of focusing on how, you know, we are being inconvenienced, what if we thanked God for the electricity that we have for the other 360 days? It's turning it around. It's turning it around. I read a quote yesterday that says, gratitude turns what we have into enough. And with Jesus, he has more than enough. So we have more than enough. Gratitude helps us not to take for granted what we do have. So going back to that scripture, in everything give thanks, we truly can give thanks in everything, no matter the trial, no matter the hardship. And of course, we are not giving thanks for the trial per se, okay? We're not giving thanks to the Lord for things that are not coming from him. We're giving thanks to the Lord for who he is and that we can trust him in the midst of those trials and those storms. He will be with us because he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. Those are things that we can be grateful for in the midst of the storm. Looking again at that verse, rejoice always. The Passion Translation, let joy be your continual feast. You know, in our day-to-day language, I don't know about you, but using the word joy and using the word, like, I don't necessarily say, I feel very in joy today. I'm feeling very joyful today, or I'm really rejoicing today. We do say that, but I think more so we use the word happy. I am really happy today. And of course, we could also very easily say, I am really not happy today. And so I just felt the Lord just wanting to explore happiness versus joy, okay? You see, happiness and joy come from two different sources. Happiness comes from the flesh. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. You see, when I looked up the word, Googled the word happy, it says feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. So I picked up on that word feeling. So you see, happiness is a feeling. Of course, feelings are influenced by our emotions. And of course, our emotions are part of our flesh, as in mind, will, and emotions. So you see, when we became born again, we as believers, we became a new creation. The old passed away. That's our spirit. But our mind, will, and emotions did not. Okay, that's why it says they must be continually renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:16, that's the very first part of that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Romans 12:2, you know, talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so as you can see, that has to be renewed every day. So there's an ebb and flow of happiness. Okay, it can come and go. And again, we're really relying on renewing our mind in Jesus every day. Okay, so we can't always count on being happy, but we can always count on having joy, because joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so as believers, We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are things that don't rely on our feelings. Okay, we don't conjure up the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces the fruits of the Spirit. And with Him in us, those fruits are in us. Okay? Now, looking at the word joy, gratitude, joy, praise. This is my personal opinion, but I would say that the greatest scripture in all of the Bible that talks about joy, that gives us an example of joy, is this one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, really, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Passion Translation, his example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you, that me, we would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. Praise God. So I think Jesus gives us the perfect example of the beautiful contrast between happiness and joy. See, I go back to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I see him sweating blood. I see him in pure agony. It's not a real picture of happiness, is it? Okay? He is telling his Father, our Father, you know, if there's any way I don't have to do this, could we figure that out right now? And he knew there wasn't. Okay? There's a picture of not being happy. But for the joy that was continually in Jesus, knowing that we would be his, he endured the agony of the cross. Not happy that night of the Garden of Gethsemane, but the joy for what he knew he was doing for us. Brian Simmons, again, author of the Passion Translation and that devotional, he said this, Jesus, you are the beauty that lives inside of me and the one who gave me joy when you saved my soul. Praise God. I looked up some other verses on joy, and these are some of my favorites too. Good reminders. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God. His joy is our strength. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Do we realize that the gift that is? That it doesn't matter what our trials are right now. It doesn't matter the depth of darkness we may be feeling right now. You can step into his fullness of joy by just getting in his presence. Doesn't deny what's going on. It's just saying, I can be joy-filled, full of joy in his presence, and that's where I want to stay. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Again, another reminder, doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now, and I am in no way trying to minimize what some of our circumstances may be. But here's some promises to stand on. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. But honestly, you can have it right now. Just step into his presence. Praise God for his provision. Joy. Okay, but if you look back at that original scripture, it says in the New King James Version, rejoice always. Okay. This, to me, was such a gift when I read in Luke 10, verse 20, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. See, we have cause to rejoice at all times simply because of Jesus, simply because we know where we're going, and we know who's with us right now in the incredible trials. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us, so we can rejoice. He's with us, and we have heaven to look forward to. I included Zephaniah 3:17 because this is such a beautiful vision of our Heavenly Father that I grab onto in those dark moments where I need to know. I just need to know that I'm being protected, that I have a Heavenly Father who just loves me, that He is who He is. This verse speaks to my heart over and over. The Lord God, your God, in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you. He rejoices over me with gladness. He will quiet you, me, with His love. He will rejoice over you, me, with singing. That's such a beautiful visual of our Heavenly Father rejoicing over us. Yep. In the midst of our muck and yuck and junk right now, He's rejoicing over us. He's quieting us with His love, but He's rejoicing over us with singing. Rejoicing over us with singing. I want to just now give you the second part of 2 Corinthians 4:16, which says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So again, this is not to be critical or try and minimize maybe the things that we might be going through right now. It's just saying that what we can see is temporary. And when it's weighed with what we can't see, with the eternal, it really is light. It really is light. Okay? That to me is a gift. So the last part of that verse says, or that passage in 1 Thessalonians is, do not quench the Spirit. So here's the thing. If He's saying do not quench the Spirit, it's obvious we can. We can. We do have the opportunity, and we do quench the Spirit. Okay? We can quench the Spirit. We can extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when you extinguish the fire? You can be left with ashes, right? At one point, the Lord gave me this statement. Stop making other people responsible for your happiness. Stop making your circumstances, your past, your junk, responsible for your unhappiness. Stay in my presence, for there you will find fullness of joy. So, yep, we can extinguish by our circumstances, by other people. We can do it to ourselves, you know, by things maybe we've done, our past, whatever. We can allow that to extinguish the fire, create ashes. But here's the cool part. You don't have enough power to completely do away with the things of the Holy Spirit, with that fire. You see, that fire can always be reignited. And He longs to. In us individually, as we're praying out revival, He longs to ignite, keep ignited, reignite, whatever the situation may be, the fire, His fire. So if you have ashes right now, living in ashes, have some ashes, maybe just certain parts of your life, Okay. Isaiah 61 has a beautiful promise for you. For you see, God gives us beauty for ashes. You don't have to stay in the ash heap. He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Gratitude, joy, praise. I'm going to end with Psalm 150, which is all about praise. And then I'm looking out at the snow, but I had asked Jody and Dave if they would follow up with a song or two of praise, because it's where we're at. We're at the praise. We have so much to praise him for. Gratitude, joy, and praise, just for who he is. But let me read Psalm 150. Let everything praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with flute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. You know what we sang out this morning? It's your breath in our lungs. So let us pour out our praise to you, Lord, for great are you, Lord. He even supplies our breath. Lord, I just stand in awe of you this morning. I'm just asking Jody, Dave, either or both, to just come up and just continue on. Father God, we just praise you. We just want to continue in this praise. In the midst of a storm, in the midst of snow, you are our all in all. Great are you, Lord. Father God, I come to you in gratitude, with joy, and with praise. Man, I stand in awe of you. You are magnificent. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for all you do in and through us, for who we are in you. I pray this in the name of Jesus.